Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And finally, we have Annette back. It has been so, you've ignored my calls for long enough.
That is not true. I've been calling you and I've been, you know, immediately sent to voicemail.
Wait. Let me check my messages. All I see is your results for strands and connections. I don't see any other words.
That's because I was calling you.
I have no missed calls.
I thought if you saw that there was a missed call from me, you would know that you should call me back, and you didn't.
False. No.
Anybody who knows me would know that I would not call you. So.
a couple weeks ago, Marcine was, I think it was the Ninja Creamy that I was in trouble for. And she said, well, I'm going to call Annette. And I said, well, she'll answer when you call. She doesn't when I call.
Answer when anybody calls.
So
you have to set an appointment to call me.
I know, and it works great when I set the appointment and it all works out. So here we are. So last week we were talking, I was talking about decisions and things like that. And I had heard, so I'm gonna in case people have not heard the episode, and that you haven't heard it yet because I haven't posted it yet.
Because I'm behind on my podcast.
You're behind on your podcast. No, because we're recording this the day after I recorded that one. And it'll post tomorrow. So I had just been thinking about a lot about decisions. I was coaching somebody a few weeks ago who said he was struggling with the decision. And he said, I take a long time to make decisions. And so I replied to him by saying, how long do you want to take, to make decisions? Do you want to take a long time or do you want to not take a long time? And then I was thinking about my decision. I kind of told the story about my decision to leave FedEx and how it started really about a year ago, where I'd been thinking about the fact that I would turn 55, old enough to retire early and keep some of the benefits. And for 7 months plus, I had, and I put in air quotes, I had been trying to decide when I was going to leave. And so here's what I think. I think a lot of times we are dishonest with ourselves, and that's a very blunt way of putting it. But we're dishonest with ourselves because we tell ourselves that we're trying to decide. And we're not trying to decide, because we could easily decide, I'm going to do A or I'm going to do B. I'm going to stay at FedEx or I'm going to leave FedEx on this date. And even after we make the decision, quote unquote, we go back and try to justify or rationalize that we did the right thing. So A, any comments on that? And B, take us to the next step.
Yeah, I do think that we do that. I know I do that. I think that's mostly rooted in fear, right? Our brain likes to protect ourselves. And so if something goes wrong and we've made the decision to go do the thing, and maybe we just made it by ourselves, we don't have anybody that we could blame on it.
True.
That on if it goes south, except for us.
Right.
And that is going to make us feel unsafe, right? So I think our brain puts up roadblocks. We put up roadblocks to ourselves to get us to maybe delay doing something instead of taking that leap.
I would agree with that.
I don't know what word to use. Misplaced confidence probably isn't exactly what I mean. And as always, I reserve the right to change my mind at any time.
That's the best.
Without any notice. That if we do Sikh deity that it will be okay. Now, because we felt impressed with an answer, and maybe that's the case, and maybe we work a little harder at it because we have more confidence in it's going to work out or it's going to be okay.
Okay.
Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm. So a couple comments or a couple observations, maybe questions. I don't know what it's going to be yet. So number one, to kind of set the stage, I asked you a question. I don't think I brought it up. And I don't remember if I mentioned it last week, but I was on a coaching call the other day and the comment was made that a lot of people like to pray about decisions. I get that. And he said the same thing. He said, I get that. But what are we looking for? Are we looking for God to make the decision for us? And I think that goes back to how we pray. What do we pray about? What are we saying? Are we saying, help me make this decision? Are we saying, which path should I take? Which direction is right? Are we saying, I've decided to do this? Please tell me if it's right. And the problem, which is not a problem, but the problem, because I can't think of a better word, is that, at least in my experience, there's something that I really want, and so I'm not paying attention to. I'm not sure I would hear if there was somebody who said, nope, don't do that. But even more often, there's nothing. It feels like, yeah, okay, whatever. So an example. I have a lot of these examples. I decided that, I'll use a more recent example. I wanted to get my ham radio license. I don't know why. It was, my father-in-law had his license. He passed away. So his call sign is up for grabs, so to speak. It can be inherited by somebody. And my son said he wanted to inherit it. Great. Fantastic. I support that. And so Brendan and I had, this is a couple of years ago, we had both gone and gotten our technician license. So for me to upgrade, it was another test, and it's a completely foreign language to me. Completely foreign language. I don't understand this stuff. When it talks about radio waves and wavelengths, and I understand the basic concepts, but that's about it. And I was committed. I had made a decision that I was going to upgrade my license from the technician to the general. I didn't even know what that meant. I just knew that it was, there were more privileges, but I couldn't tell you what those privileges were. Still can't. So, I bought a course. I went through the program and I passed the test. So yesterday I got my notification from the FCC that everything's gone through. I now on their database show that I have my general license. Now, not once during that whole process did I pray and say, should I go and get my general license? So I know people who won't do anything, right? Not a single thing. They won't. I've heard stories on my mission, for example, that there were missionaries apparently that would go to the deli and they would pray about which sandwich they should get. And I think this is me and my hellion-ness, I guess, that I don't think God wants us to depend on him to make decisions for us. There's a scripture in the Doctrine and Covenants that says that it is not meet that you should be commanded in all things. I think he wants us to make decisions, which I think is true for the big decisions as well as the small decisions. Which house should we buy? What neighborhood should we live in? What ward should we attend? What job or what career, what major? Now, I want to hear your thoughts. And then I will probably have some thoughts about your thoughts.
I don't think he cares. I think that God cares only if we are being loving and kind towards ourselves and his other children. I don't really think he cares about anything else.
Are you a dentist or a doctor? Do you?
Yeah, I don't think he cares. Like, I think we're all given talents and things that we lean to, are fascinated with, or enjoy more than others. I think that's part of, you know, our personality, our makeup. And then we can use those gifts to be kind and bless the lives of other people. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, like, have a livelihood, hopefully, and be able to be able to take care of ourselves. And when we're in a position where we can take care of ourselves, to help people who are not in a position to take care of themselves. And because someday we might not be in a position where we can take care of ourselves, you know, we have to rely on other people. And so I really do think that. I know people that pray about everything because but really the root, at least the people that I know of, I'm not going to say this is everybody. Mm-hmm. It comes from a place of fear. And from this black and white messaging that happens a lot in Christianity and maybe other religions, I'm just not familiar enough with them to be able to speak to them, mm-hmm. of there's a right way and a wrong way.
Right.
And so, and it's, or not just, there's a right way.
There's a right way and then everything else is wrong.
And so if you're not, and we want to get it right, right? And then especially in Christianity, but again, probably all religions, like we want to be with our loved ones again, or we want to be in God's presence again. And you can't do that unless you were good and you got it right. And so there is some, I think, very unnecessary fear around getting it right, when getting it right could mean actually getting it wrong first.
Right.
You know,
talk more about that. Cause I agree with you.
Well, part of it could be just because Dad was ridiculously positive. He was obnoxiously good at spinning things to be positive. Mm-hmm. Like, as a kid, as a young adult, when I messed something up, I'd be like, well, I guess, you know, you'll never want to do that again.
Right.
You know, like, he turned it into this, everything was turned into something that was going to eventually or immediately help me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think it's just, I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways. I mean, you and I have talked about this a lot and probably on here and definitely off about, there's many ways to get to God. Mm-hmm. There's many, many paths. I don't subscribe to the belief that there's only one way, one path, mm-hmm. because it might not be physically possible for somebody, right? If you have to do these things and they're unable to, for whatever reason, through their own fault or no fault of their own. Right. And you know, who wrote, is it C.S. Lewis? No, who wrote Chronicles of Narnia? Was that C.S. Lewis?
I think so.
You know, people talk about how, like, the lion Aslan was like a representative, like a type of Christ. Mm-hmm. And throughout the series, you have like so many chances, right? Like, do it this way. And then the kids would be like, no, we don't think that, or we have to do this first. And so then there would be another chance. Mm-hmm. There would be another chance. There would be another chance. I don't think there is a right way other than just not stopping trying
right.
permanently.
I think about, so maybe we've talked about this before, but when I was at FedEx, there was a committee that I was on. I chaired it. It was the safety committee. We called it the QDST, the Quality Driven Safety Team. And we met once a month, and I do things a little bit differently. I do a lot of things a little bit differently. I do a lot of things a lot differently too. But the meetings that I had gone to prior to me taking that responsibility, people would, the whoever's leading the committee would basically do a safety lecture. Okay, you guys need to make sure that you're wearing your PPE. Make sure that you got your hearing protection in. You guys are the safety reps. Make sure that you're looking around and call anybody out if they're not following through on the responsibilities that they. So it was the safety lecture, and I didn't like that. And I know that most people are not fans of any meetings, and so I wanted to make it a little bit more fun. So I turned it around. But the one thing that I did, which was, I know it was bad. I know it was not right, but it was entertaining for me. And this is not the way to run a meeting, but I played a game called Guess What Ken's Thinking. It's a horrible game. The game was, I would bring a chocolate cake, and I would have a safety topic in mind. It was usually based on something that had happened recently. We had one time where there was a tug that drove through an aircraft silhouette as the airplane was trying to come in and park. And so the plane had to stop. It was a dangerous situation. And so the safety topic was, the blanket was aircraft incursions. That's going in front of cutting off airplanes. Bad idea. Pilots always have the right of way.
Yeah.
And so something like that would happen. It would be a way for me to bring up the thing that I wanted the group to have a focus on. But as we would have our normal conversation, if anybody said, you know, something I've noticed is we're not paying attention to the aircraft. Bam, you got it. You win the cake. And it was fun because there was some momentum. There was some enthusiasm. And if nobody guessed it, then I would kind of lead them a little bit. And what's something that's been happening lately? What do we need to focus on? And cold weather gear was one, for example. What is it that we need? Make sure we layer up. Yeah, exactly right. You got it. So I think, as I share that's what I used to do. I think that's what we assume we're doing a lot of times with prayer. We're playing a game. Guess what God's thinking? He has this master plan for you. And you're going to become a, let's see, why don't you be a biologist? And so then you just have to keep praying about, should I be a physics teacher? No. Should I be an accountant? No. Should I be? You have to guess what God's thinking. I don't think that's a game he plays.
I agree with that. Because, and also, not because, but also, what about the people who never really had a thought of what they wanted to be? They weren't like, Caitlin was driven from probably the time she was born to be, she wanted to be a teacher. That's what she wanted to be. And as she got older, she discovered her love of reading. She wanted to be an English teacher, right? And she did it and she loves it. And then I think of like my own experience, and I changed my major probably 25 times. I probably got flagged in the school system because I was changing my major so often. And I laugh as now, you know, 30 years later, watching my kids go through, and like, it's really hard to change your major now. It's not as easy as it was 30 years ago. To just be like, I changed my mind. I wanted to be this now. I mean, like you have to do a little bit more work than just flippantly changing your major. But I struggled for a really long time, and I never felt like this is my passion. This is where I want to focus my talents and my energies. And, you know, I fell into cosmetology. I fell into hair on a dare. I was talking with a roommate. She was struggling. She didn't know what she wanted to do. It was kind of like, I don't think there is anything that the school offers that I want to spend the time on to get there career-wise. And I was like, me either. And so we got talking. I was like, well, what do you like? And she's like, I kind of want to be a dental hygienist. And I was like, you should do that. That would be cool. Go to school. Like, I dare you to drop out of college and go to dental hygiene school.
Right.
And I had been cutting friends' hair at that point. She goes, well, I dare you to drop out of college and go to cosmetology school.
That's awesome.
All right. So I did. Mm-hmm. I ran into her 25 years later. And I said, I hadn't seen her since then, right? Because I went to school back in the 1900s when there was no social media.
That's right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, are you this person? And she said, yeah. Are you? And then I was like, yeah. I said, did you ever do dental hygiene? And she says, no, I chickened out. What about you? And I said, I did. And then I found out she enrolled in a school to become a dental hygienist and has since graduated.
Oh, wow. And I was
like, that's so awesome.
Like recently?
Like, I fell into that. It wasn't like I grew up going like, I this is how I want, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and I had, and I wore holes in the carpet praying about what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Mm-hmm. And also wrestling a little bit with cultural messaging, you know, right. from our faith tradition about what I should do mm-hmm. versus, you know, maybe where my talents and my skills led me to, but I never got a clear answer. I never got, man, if I was trying to play guess what's in God's head, I lost. I did terrible because I never guessed.
But I think that's from a cultural standpoint, that's kind of what we're expecting. That's not just what we're expecting, but we're expecting that for other people. And absolutely. Think about the, if we take it outside the church, we take it to an American culture standpoint, the culture is, the expectation is you graduate high school so that you can go to college. You go to college so that you can get a job. And then you work that job for the rest of your life. And there's not very much room for indecision or for not knowing. And the problem is, so one of the things that I'm hearing in from one of my coaches is the most powerful question you can answer is, what do you want? And think about from a cultural, from a United States culture, from a church culture, from those two standpoints, how much time do we spend on considering what we want? Not from a selfish standpoint, but what is it I want out of life? What do I want out of this relationship? What do I want out of this educational experience? What do I want out of whatever?
That's an interesting question. And we grew up having completely different experiences mm-hmm. in the world and in our church because we are different genders.
Right. And in our right? family.
And in our family. Yeah. Like just, it, you know, different experiences. We're not that far apart in age, enough that you're clearly older than me, but yes. not.
Do you like my little white shock right here?
I do. Barry's actually, he's that. So sad. He wants something like that in his beard. That is a highly coveted thing to have, just so you know.
The white patch?
Yes. A streak.
Or the beard.
Yes. Both.
I would enhance that if I could get away with it. Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
Make it a fun color. But so from my perspective and my lived experience, which is probably going to be different than most every other male or female in the mm-hmm. world, was anything I wanted was selfish.
Right.
Full stop.
Because you should want specific things. You should want to be a wife and mother. You should want to stay home with your kids. You should want to support your husband. You should want. And, but even outside of that, I have considered, this is one of the things that I struggled with in setting goals, is the first step is you've got to decide what you want. What do you want to achieve? And if you consider that, if you think about that, it's tempered by what do I think I can have instead of what do I want?
Sure. Yeah.
Because if your first thought is, I want to live in Hawaii, well, I can't do that because. And the question really is, and we are going to get back to decisions, I promise.
I'm on this journey with you.
No, we're good. We're so, it's so ingrained in us to recognize what we don't want. And it's usually the things that we don't want in the situations that we're already in. I don't want to be poor. I don't want this boss. I don't want to live this far away from the school. I don't want, and it's all the things that we don't want. And we don't give any energy, any attention, any time or focus on discovering what we do want. I had a question for Marcin at one point. If we could live anywhere in the world, where would we want to live? And
interesting. What'd she say? Are you allowed to tell me?
Well, we never landed on a place, but the interesting thing was the conversation went through what we don't want. Well, I don't want to live where it's too cold. I don't want to live where we're too far from family. I don't want to live where... So it's so deeply ingrained. And I'm the same way. I'm not... This is not any kind of an accusation. This is... I think how we're... This is how we're... I was going to say, this is how we're bred. This is how we're raised. This is what's ingrained in us is I don't want. Instead of thinking, I want to travel. I want, if somebody says, hey, my daughter's getting married in Utah. This is my ministering family. On this date, I want to be able to say, fantastic. I'm going to show up. Or we're going to surprise my husband for his birthday. Fantastic. But it's going to be in Orlando. Cool. I'm there. I want, so that's one thing that I want. I want to be able to be flexible enough and travel to visit people. If Carissa, who lives in Idaho, says, I'm graduating from college, I want to be able to say, cool, I'm there.
Yeah.
And so we got to be there. That was fun. So that's one thing that I want. And so as I have considered some of these questions, I've discovered that it is really hard for me to ignore this mental mind. I think it's a mindset that what if I choose the wrong thing? So if I'm setting a business goal. Well, what if I set the wrong goal? What if I set a goal and it's too high? What if I don't achieve it? I've got a couple things that I'm working on, which include, I'm not going to talk about that. I've got some things that I want to achieve. And there are, so I'll use, this is a story that I've told in the past, and maybe on this podcast, maybe on my other one, but I had a guy who used to work for me. His name was Izzy, and he wanted a car, and he knew exactly what car it was. He had a model on his computer monitor. And so he was staring at it all day long. He knew exactly what he wanted. And so if I were to, with a blank slate, think about what car do I want, okay? And it goes back to, well, I want something with good gas mileage. I want something that's going to be comfortable. I want something that's going to be... So I was talking to Brendan the other day, and I said, okay, I have some deal breakers. It has to have a navigation system. I use an Android phone. I like Android Auto. So it has to have Android Auto. It has to have heated seats. It has to have... It has to be convertible. And so I will not consider anything that doesn't have, those are absolute deal breakers for me. Okay. So I won't consider anything that's not those things. And so if it had a cooled seat, cool. If it doesn't, okay. That's something I'm willing to give up. But it's because we're not, I don't think we're well-trained. We have this whole world of possibilities for us to say, okay, I want that one. Now, and the thing that I'm figuring out is that, so I have this car in mind. What if this is the wrong car? When should I decide that it's the wrong car? And I realized I don't have to wait until I'm ready to buy a car to decide if that's the right car.
Right.
So what if I go test drive that car, the car that I have imagined, and then I'll know. I love how it handles. Okay, it's the right car. Or I hate how it handles. This is the wrong car. I need to go. In fact, I saw one of my neighbors. He was driving a car that's very similar to the one that I want. And I'm thinking I'm going to stop by his house and say, so Brad, tell me, how do you like your car?
Yeah, for sure.
And if I can find out that there are some good things about it or some bad things about it, then I can decide. And before I get to that point, I can change what I want. And that's one of the things I think we forget, that at any point, if you decide, I don't want that, the cost And I'm not talking about financial. I'm talking about the cost. It could be a family cost. It could be a time cost. It could be an integrity cost. It could be whatever it is. But the cost is too high. You can change what you want. So there's my long rant about, from a cultural standpoint, you have college kids that are getting ready or that they have graduated, and they think that they have to have made a decision about the rest of their life at age 21, 22 years old. And
part of that is because they're being told that, you know.
I know, that's what I'm saying. This is the culture that we live in.
Yeah.
And so making it harder for people to change their degrees is not contributing to that.
Correct.
Because
I get where they're coming from on one hand, but I'm like, I'm 50 and I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life. So
wow, you're 50?
Barely.
Oh my goodness.
You hit it a few years ago, so.
I did. I don't remember. I remember my age, Greg's age, because it's me minus one. And I remember Mark's age barely because it's me minus 17. But I still have to do the math with Mark because I couldn't tell you today. I couldn't tell you right now.
I have to do the math with me. What are you talking about? My friend's birthday is coming up and we had lunch the other day and they're asking, like, she said that it was her 50th and everybody's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're 50. And we're all roughly the same age, you know, mm-hmm. within probably 5 years, one way or the other. Sure. And they looked at me and they're like, did you turn 50 yet? And I was like, yes, I did.
Well, obviously we didn't make a big surprise party for you like we did for mom's 60th. And that was the best gift
ever.
So back to this idea. This is just me kind of exploring what I was asking this client, how long do you want to take to make a decision? Uh-huh. And the fact that we have this cultural, almost a norm, that we have to take a long time. We don't have to take a long time because it takes a long time to gather information. There's endless information. You're never going to gather all the information. And so.
But we also live in an age where there is so much information available to us.
Right.
Right. There wasn't 25 years ago when if you wanted to buy a plane ticket, you had to call the airlines. And you'd be like, all right, well, how much does this one cost? Okay, what about this one? What about, like, now you can compare all the airlines at the exact same time, you know? So, which is great on one hand, but it does contribute to that, I think, making it a little bit more difficult.
Right. Last year, I was at a conference. I was in Austin, Texas, and I love food. I love having good experiences with food. And so I was in my hotel room exploring within walking distance, because I didn't have a car, what restaurants would give me the best dinner experience. I was looking at ratings. I was looking at reviews. I was looking at Yelp versus Google. I was looking at all different things. And I realized after 2 hours, I'm still hungry. And so I think that contributes to the problem. We have so much information. And so I had an epiphany a couple weeks ago. I was driving to the international grocery store. They have amazing things. They have all sorts of, they have a European aisle and an African aisle and
wow.
It's amazing. So next funeral you come out here, we'll go.
Yes.
But they have,
not a funeral.
They have a lot of fresh fruits and things like that. And so a lot of times I'll pick up peppers there to make sauces and hot sauce and stuff. But so I pulled into the parking lot and I parked. And as I got out of the car, I saw that there was a parking spot that was closer. And one of the games is you want to park as close as possible. And I like to do what Marcin calls celestial parking. That's where you pull through. So when you're pulling out of the space, you're pulling out, you're not backing up.
It's the best of both worlds. You pull into the spot, but you don't have to back out.
Right. And it is safer because you have much better perspective and vision pulling out as you do from backing up. So as I was walking in, I realized I could get back in my car and take the closer spot. And as I was thinking that, I saw an even closer spot. I thought I could even get closer. but I'm not going to. And I think the secret sauce that I haven't implemented well is once I decide, I did it when I was parking, but I don't do it for other things. Once I committed to my parking space, I was committed to it. I decided the decision's done. I'm not going to second guess it. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm not going to walk through the grocery store thinking, I could have been 30 feet closer. Because then I'm still living outside the store wondering, well, what about that spot? I wonder how long until somebody leaves that spot. I could be 40 feet closer instead of 30 feet closer. And okay, so I'm 50 feet from the entrance. Big deal. It takes an extra 3 seconds to walk. And so going back to this person I was coaching who said, I take a long time to make decisions. I'm not an expert in this. But I had the thought to ask him the question because I realized you don't have to take a long time. You can take as long as you want. If you want to take years to make a decision about what career you want, there are people in college that have been going there for years trying to decide what they want to do with their lives. And there are people who have been researching for years what neighborhood they want to live in, or people who have been trying to figure out for years what career they want to be in. I don't think that that's required, though. I think you can decide. I think, here I am thinking about it in the moment. I think making the decision, we don't understand what that means. I think we think making the decision means saying that we are going to do something. But then we keep going back on that thought that, well, I said,
is it the right time?
Right.
Should I do this now?
Do I really want the quesadilla or do I want to get the fajitas instead? I know I ordered the quesadilla and it sounds really good, but, and then even when the food comes out, Marcine's food looks better than mine. And I wish I had gotten her food instead of my food. And, but I know she's not going to eat all of hers, so I can share what she had anyways. But I think there are maybe two decisions that we have to make with any decision that we have in front of us. Number one is we make the decision, which is our stated declaration, I'm going to do this. And then the second decision is I am done considering options.
Yeah, I think that's the scarier part, right? Yeah. Because then if it goes south, it's on us. And maybe it's by something that was so little that had we spent a little bit more time, then it could have been avoided. Or, right. You know, our brain does that because our brain is wired to protect us. Yeah. And it does its job ridiculously well, usually.
Yeah, that's true.
Almost to our detriment.
It is, right? To our detriment because as we are... And here's the thing I think that may make the difference. Our brain is trained to look for evidence that we're right. And so if we make the decision and we're worried that we made the wrong decision, our brain is going to be looking for evidence that we made the wrong decision.
I have a friend that she has two kids. She got a divorce from her first marriage. Several years later, ended up getting remarried. And her new husband, after the kids were out of the house, decided they were moving to Ireland. And I was talking to her one day and I just said, what made you decide to do this? She said, mm-hmm. I've always wanted to live there. I just thought it would be really cool. Yeah. And I was like, so you just decided that now was the time? She said, yeah. And I was like, that is awesome and terrifying and brave and courageous. And what about all of these millions of questions? She goes, I know. she was like, at least what it looked like to me, okay, sitting in the discomfort / excitement. That's she was awesome. Like, I'm acknowledging this is like all the things that you have to do to move out of your home country,
yeah,
and into another country, right? Like, I'm acknowledging I'm going to be a worlds away from my children who live in the States.
Right.
And traveling is going to be harder and more expensive, you know, but she had this dream, and she, every time she posts any pictures on the socials from Ireland, I'm just like, oh, I want to go there. That's so cool.
How fun would that be?
But as we've been talking, I wrote down three things that I think I've either experienced or witnessed mm-hmm. that could be roadblocks into taking a long time to make the decisions, or maybe why we feel we need to pray about everything, or why we feel like we need to pray about the things that we are praying about mm-hmm. when it comes to decisions.
Okay.
The first one is fear. I talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. The second one is we might be seeking permission.
Okay.
I want permission to do this thing that maybe I secretly, air quote, selfishly want.
Right.
And I need somebody to sign off. And who better to sign off than God, right? Yeah. Like deity, like you they can't go up beyond that. So like you could talk to a sibling or a parent and they could mm-hmm. be like, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And you're like, I need to take it up one. I need to take it up one more.
I need to see if you're right too. No, so I think you're right.
Permission. And then sometimes the decision itself is so overwhelming to make mm-hmm. because of maybe how our brains are wired, right? Like you think, well, you know, I want to buy this car, or I want to take this trip, or I want to make this career change, or I want to marry this person, or should we be having kids? You know, any of the things that people might and pray about in a religious setting. And we might feel like I have to make this decision right now, and all the things, and know not just make the decision, but also know how to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And we have example in scripture of sometimes a person going and praying and God giving them a vision with exact instructions.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, I'm going to need you to go up into the mountain and get out this ore and then melt it down into this shape mm-hmm. and turn it into this tool. I know you've never seen it before. Just trust me. And then use that to cut down trees and plank them. And then fit them together and you're going to make a boat. It's going to be amazing. Right? So we have examples sometimes. And so I think when we have something that feels really overwhelming, we might feel like we need to pray about that thing instead of trusting our own selves.
Right.
That then I need to chunk it up.
Yeah.
Right? Like when this is something that I, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was thinking about retiring from hair, mm-hmm. shutting down my garage salon, and moving my career into the funeral and mortuary side of mm-hmm. things. And I did not want to be an embalmer. I still do not want to be an embalmer, but to do hair and makeup. And so I was talking with my therapist about it. And I was like, I don't even know how to do this. And he's like, what do you mean? You just do it. And then, this wasn't something that I was necessarily praying about.
Right.
But it was the conversations that we had about it. I think I've talked to other people and it's kind of how their minds have been in their prayers, in their conversations with God. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't even know how to do it. Everybody's going to be disappointed. People are going to be upset. You know, and it was like, well, I know there's other people that do a good job. I know that. I know I'm not the only person that does a good job, but I'm inconveniencing them, right? Like, all these things that my brain was doing to keep me in a very safe and comfortable place, sure. even though I wasn't happy necessarily or thriving
right.
doing that thing. And so he helped me chunk it out into like manageable chunks. I think sometimes people feel like they need to pray and wait for God to answer them. And sometimes he doesn't because he's like, yeah, those are both good things, whatever you choose.
Right.
Like, either one's fine, but needing some help to just chunk it out and be like, okay, this is the first step. First, you're going to do this. I'm like, all right, I did that. You know, okay, write a letter. Let's get a letter written that you're going to send out to all your clients. Okay, I can do that.
Right.
Got my letter, form letter it, and then I went and had a seizure and then
ruined everything.
My letter was written, right? So I made a few edits and then I sent it out to my client list. And on one hand, it was people were disappointed, but nobody was mad at me.
Right.
And so I was like, well, that's kind of nice, right? Like it took that whole worry.
Right.
Not mad at me. I'm not ruining their, like I did, you know, like there were some that were not nice about it, but so just needing, maybe just being too overwhelmed. And so wanting to take that question and give it to this higher power uh-huh. And then we're absolved of anything that doesn't go right, or like expectantly waiting, chunk it up for me. And he's like, this is part of the process.
Right. Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. We don't talk about the subconscious mind in religious contexts usually. But I think the subconscious mind is, we sometimes mistake for the spirit. And
100%.
So we have this this prayer, and our subconscious mind realizes that this is, you're asking me to change and I don't want to do that. And so we get this really awkward, uncomfortable. Yeah. And so then we attribute that to the spirit. Oh, God says no. So that keeps us safe and protected. The other thing is that you mentioned Nephi building the boat, but how many other stories are there?
Or Noah, right?
Noah, true.
Yeah.
How many other stories are there where God didn't say, okay, here's the blueprint? He said, yeah, you got a problem with lights? What do you want me to do about it? Yeah. And so I think that happens for us as well. I think in the scripture I've referenced many times, you know it well, that it's Alma 37:37, counsel with the Lord in all thy doings. And this is becoming more meaningful to me because, and I think you nailed it with the word permission. I think a lot of times we're asking God's permission, and he gave us agency. He gave us the agency to act and not
blanket
be acted upon.
Permission almost, right?
Right. Like, and so we don't need his permission to do things. And so the way I now imagine counseling with the Lord is, Heavenly Father, I've decided I'm going to do this. I'm going to leave my job at FedEx. I'm going to get this car. I'm going to travel to visit my daughter at BYU, Idaho for a graduation. I'm going to do these things. And maybe there's a request for, if there's anything I need to do to prepare, if there's anything I need to know, if there's anything I need to change, please bring those things to my attention. If there's anything that I need to consider, please help me be wise enough to consider the things. But I also heard something the other day that really got me thinking. We pray, at least I'll make it personal. I pray a lot of times about the same things. It's the same things over and over again. I have, there's the counsel to pray over a flock. So I pray over my business. I pray over my family and things like that. And the person, I can't even remember who it was, but they said, do you think God ever gets tired of hearing the same prayer? Because what if he said, yeah, I'm going to bless you in your business. Just now go do something with it, instead of asking and asking and asking and you're not doing anything about it. So that got me thinking. Okay.
Well, I think that's another point there, though. If we pray about it, then we might not have to, whether it's conscious or subconscious, we won't have to work as hard.
Right.
Right? Because like I prayed for my business to grow, so God will bless me, right? Ask and you shall receive. This transactional, well, I ask now, give me growth in my business, or give me health mm-hmm. when, or heal this person, or, you know, whatever, give me safety. When it, there's that, that's not what it is. Like, meaning it's not transactional. Our right. relationship with deity isn't transactional, but sometimes gets portrayed that way. I think unintentionally, but it happens.
It comes back to that transactional nature that we've talked about a couple of times. Yeah. So, but I love where I think this has landed for me is, I don't feel like God expects us to ask his permission to do things. I think even the big decisions, who to marry, what career to go into, where to live, stuff like that. I don't think, so the question that I now am asking myself is, how does that change my prayers? If I'm not asking him permission, how do I pray then about, is this something I should do? What if he wants me to decide and then just move forward? And then just like with Elder Holland's talk, if I get to the end of the road and realize I'm on the wrong path, do I trust me enough to realize, hey, dummy, you're on the wrong path. Go the other way. And I'm not saying that that means that the entire decision was wrong, but maybe the approach that I'm taking is wrong. Maybe I should consider something different. Maybe I should, maybe I need to rework my scripting or whatever it is. So there you go. That's where I've landed. I'm now going to rethink how I pray and ask for blessings to make sure I'm not asking permission, but I'm counseling with the Lord. Hey, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Like in my younger life, my prayers definitely were asking, like, as I reflect, right, asking for that seal of approval.
Right.
Right. Like, how do you feel about this thing? I think I'm going to do this thing. Can I get the thumbs up? Right. Yeah. Like, can you just give me that approved stamp? And mine have definitely changed to be more of like talking things out.
Yeah.
Right. Because, but part of that is I work better that way. If I'm struggling with something, I need to talk it out with somebody. Mm-hmm. And I then will can come full circle and something like when Barry and I are talking, I'll be like, I just need to talk this out. Right. You can ask me questions. I don't want you to solve anything. I'm going to figure it out. I just have to verbally, auditorily do that.
Right.
I don't remember if that's how I was before. It's definitely how I am now. And so my prayers have shifted to be more kind of just that, this is kind of what's going on. And, you know, I don't know what to do about this. And just kind of talking things out, trusting, hoping, believing, wishing, wanting that he's paying attention, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So there we go. I think.
Did we come full circle?
I think we did. Because where we, at least where I started in my head was, just exploring this idea of if I'm praying about a decision, am I asking God to make the decision for me? And I think maybe I am, but maybe I'm waiting for that permission. And how much does that slow us down if we're waiting for that stamp of approval? And if he's trying to teach us to have stewardship over our lives, which I think is one of the things he wants us to have. He wants us to use our agency. I don't think that we are benefiting by asking for his blessing every time we do something, whether it's big or small. I think counseling, maybe this is why it was Dad's favorite scripture. I think counseling with the Lord looks very different than what I imagined when I was young growing up, because I thought it meant, Heavenly Father, I'm thinking about the cold cut combo or the roast beef sandwich. Which one should I get? And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to ask him about that because
I'd say the Reuben.
I want the Reuben sandwich. Does Subway have a Reuben?
I don't know. It should. I'm just thinking of Togo's right now.
Oh, yeah. Their Reuben was good. Their pastrami was good. I have no idea if it's good anymore, but.
I had one about a year ago and it was delicious.
Nice. Sensual sandwich. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I told Marcin.
I need to get there next time.
We were close enough that I could have made it. And I told Marcin, we need to leave the daughter and son-in-law's house by this time so I can get my sandwich. And she just glared at me.
I'm sure you're lucky you made it out alive. I'm sure that
she has promised that when we go out for the baby, that I'll get my sandwich. I'm not convinced that that will stay true. But
well, I'm going to be out there in July. So if you want to come, I'll go.
Okay. We'll coordinate.
Going out for Josh's graduate.
Fun. I may pull some strings and make things happen.
We'll be in Utah for a few days before and on the, you know, bookending that trip. So.
Excellent. Well, and very good.
You know, it's a food tour whenever we go out west.
As it should be.
Yes.
So, well, thanks for chatting with us. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next week about, who knows, maybe it'll be more about decisions and whether God makes our decisions for us. I don't know. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?